Tuesday. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Martha.
I recognize
Ruby.
Your voice.
Okay.
Good evening, Ruby.
Good evening, Hannah.
So we're going forward.
Hannah.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
So we are, this class is a deep Zohar study for the Parsha of Noah. We're in section 25, Pasuk 185. And I'll start with the L'shem Yechud. L'shem Yechud kud shabariku ishkin tebid hilur himud hilud hilur himu. Liyakta l'shem yudhe bavavhe. V'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. La'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayihinu amadunai Elohinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kanunei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kanuneihu. Uvechol zimna gedina sharya al alma. Ruach kudsha amar. Vavdila ishtakach Kemoshe diktiv Vayizkor v'gomer Aye hamaler lem Miyam v'gomer udiktiv Vayomer Hashem El Moshe ma titzak alay Yeha ihu bitlota salik flon min yama ugin deshave garmeya bitlota alayhu di Israel bi yama ikre hamalim mi yam dihu Asik lo min yama. I'm sorry, that was the verse we did last night.
Okay, I'll
we're
be
starting
looking.
With verse,
I couldn't
well,
find it.
Okay. We're verse starting with verse 186. Aye hasam bekirbo. Et ruach kadcho, daihu Moshe diashrei, shekinta benaihu, di Israel mulikam, batomot kad itzbat yuhu, maya v'azalu, begota moaya, Tamoe Baya Besha Beshta Digli Du Maya Begin Diamsar Garmeya Al Yisrael. Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within them? Refers to Moses, to he who caused the Shekhinah to reside among Israel, and led them through the depths on dry land, when the waters were cleft, as if frozen. And all this happened because he was willing to offer his life to save Israel. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, it looks like it was in the merit of Moshe that we crossed the waters of the Yom Suf.
That's what it says.
Mm-hmm. And
you think it's true?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Shut
up. Moses was willing to offer his life only after they crossed the Yamsu.
Well, in a potential.
They crossed the
before. I'm continuing.
If Moses was, they crossed the Red Sea, the Yam Suf, they went 39 days, and then somebody built the golden calf. And in that merit, Hashem said, okay, I'll save the Jews, because I know that Moses is going to offer his life, and therefore I'll save them now. Does that make sense to you?
Well, it does, because it's Hashem. Omnipotent, would that be the adjective?
Well, it does, because the Torah is not a history book. It's not a linear history. But people don't know that. They think of it as a history book. Should I go on?
Well, have you anything to add that we're missing in the verse?
The statement that the waters were cleft as if frozen. Now, you're all thinking about the movie with the picture of the Yam Suf splitting. And the description in the Bible is like that.
But we know it wasn't, right? Because of the 12 tribes, each had a path.
Correct. There were 12 places it split.
Mm-hmm.
And the word cleft is a word Moni people don't know, because isn't that the word we use to say a cleft lip?
Oh, I think a cleft in the rock, you know, in a mountain, you know, or even the Western wall, the little holes, you know, or clefts. That's my difference,
right.
You know, what goes.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
So verse 187. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, af al gav tzaka'a, ha'wa no'ach, love you, kedai kedekudsha. Berichu yagin al alma beginea. Tachati Moshe latala mila biskutaya. Ela biskut uvahan. Kadim nama el noach la alma havaleya b'man deitle biskuta de kemosha. Rabbi Yehuda said that even though Noah was righteous, it was still not worthwhile for the Holy One, blessed be He, to protect the world because of him. Come and see. Moses did not ask anything on the basis of his own merit. He depended on the merit of the patriarchs. But Noah, unlike Moses, had no other person on whose merit he could depend. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Am I the only one on?
No, there's two other people on.
Okay.
They're just quiet.
Okay, well, what came to mind to me was a couple of days ago from the Tehillim that we studied, and I think it was that class, that you taught that it was best not to ask for things in our own marriage and save that for our future generations. And I had never heard that before, and I never think of asking in my own merit anyway, because I always feel like you don't know what merit you have. but that's what this reminds me of, that Moses didn't ask anything on the basis, you know, for himself or for the children on his own merit, and depended on the merit of the other patriarch. So.
He was telling God he shouldn't kill the children of Israel because the other nations would think less of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he agreed with Moses without saying so, but ultimately he didn't kill the children of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
He woke them up. He put them aside. Whereas Noah was always asking in his own place, in his own merit. Noah wasn't praying for the world to not be destroyed. He just was praying that he not be destroyed. Noah prayed for his children in the process.
And I suppose that's where the influence came for even our prayer services, that we don't, you know, we pray for the general population, I guess I'd say, even on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It's not just for ourselves.
Correct. But that our prayer service, the attitude about the prayer service of doing it in the plural and not praying for ourselves, that comes from Hannah, the way she composed her prayer to Hashem for her children.
But you don't think she was influenced by Moshe? She came before.
She didn't live in the time of Moshe. She lived in the time of Pinchas. She was influenced by Moshe just by virtue of being a righteous person.
Mm-hmm.
So verse 188. Amar Rabbi Yitzhak Ve'im Kol Da Ke'wan De'amar Leya kucha brichu v'hachmonati et briti ech itach hawa leya lemachmi ve rachame alayhu v'karbana v'yikriv livater the krav leya min kadmat duda dilema yisra yiska Ru Gazi Me Alma. Rabbi Yitzhak said that even though this was the case, when the Holy One, blessed be He, said to him, "But with will I establish my covenant," he should have asked for mercy for them as well. After he should have sacrificed the offering, he sacrificed after the flood. Therefore, and he should have sacrificed the offering he sacrificed after the flood, before it happened. Maybe that would have calmed the judgment of wrath that hung over the world. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Hana, did Noah offer any sacrifices in his generation? Or only after the flood?
Only after the flood.
So Hayden.
That's what this verse is actually saying. He only offered sacrifices after the flood. They're saying if he had offered the sacrifice before the flood, that may have been reasons not to, for him not to have to be, you know, the generation to be destroyed. If he'd offered sacrifices before the flood, people would have been saved.
Wow. I guess I'm having a difficult time connecting the in his generation the righteous person in that generation, and then Noah not offering sacrifices. I mean, he had a truly righteous person to be inspired by. And
Moses was righteous, but he didn't consider himself righteous.
No, I thought we were talking about Noah. Are we talking about Noah or Moshe?
Well, we're talking about both.
Okay. So
to
Noah,
me, this portion has basically been telling us the same thing over and over. That Noah just
really
didn't match up.
How important and how high Moshe represents. That's why it's just repeating the same issues.
Mm-hmm. But Hanak,
yes,
Noah had been compared to someone after that time period, he wouldn't have been considered righteous or not as righteous. For instance, we're
correct.
Comparing him to Moses now.
Well, no, Moses is being compared to Noah.
But my question is, or my statement is, if we were comparing in the opposite direction, in that sense, Noah is not considered to be, he would not have been considered to be a righteous person if you're comparing those two.
Well, the Torah says specifically that Moshe is a righteous man and Noah is a righteous man.
But there are degrees of righteousness.
Yes, there are. But what it's saying is the generation of Noah was not as righteous as the generation that left Egypt. The generation that left Egypt was in Moshe's generation, and it helped elevate him.
even though it was, they had the mixed multitude in there?
The mixed multitude were only two people. There were,
can you explain
there were 1.5 million people. There was 3 million people. So, and all of them were connected to Moses.
There was a midrash saying that Hakem didn't want Moshe to take the Arab rod with him, but Moshe insisted because he thought they could be changed or converted. I'm not, don't remember exactly which term they used specifically, which really shows how Moshe was so tied to the people. He was bound with the people of his generation, where Noah seems not to have had that. I've kind of had an inkling of that feeling with being a teacher in a classroom. There were times where, usually, well, most of the time, by the end of 6 weeks, you would bond with the children and the children would bond with you. And
right.
Even when I taught Hebrew, every class I taught except one, I could not bond with that class. And, you know, so I kind of have the sense of what's going on with the two personalities and kind of can identify with it. And I'm sure everybody's had a sense where you might meet somebody and you don't really know them, but you have this feeling you don't like them. Or maybe you're picking up that they don't like you. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. But, you know, there's some people that you just can't really get really close to because there would be agitation, I guess, would be a good way to describe it. And others, you just, it's like, gosh, you're almost kin because of your sensitivity to their personality.
Well, we study in the reincarnation. Go ahead, Malka.
I guess my thoughts are, you know, Moshe was brought up basically as an Egyptian. You know, he was raised with the Egyptian people. So his bond, he was a man of both people. So, yes, I can see where he bonded with the mixed multitudes because that's how he grew up as a baby. I mean, he did have his mother and his sister there from his, you know, the tribe that he came from. But, you know, he was in the royal family. So...
Right.
I can see why he wanted to bring whoever wanted to come because he had, you know, he dealt with both sides.
Correct.
And they were all good people to him. That's how he saw them because he grew up in both homes, basically.
No, actually, he grew up in the palace, in Pharaoh's
mm-hmm.
home. He was breastfed by his mother, so he knew
right.
you know he knew his mother and his sister, but he didn't live there.
But he did make many visits to her.
He knew he was a Hebrew.
Right.
But that probably wasn't told to him until he was later in life. Like, you know, a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Pharaoh's daughter or Pharaoh's?
Batya was Pharaoh's daughter.
Okay.
That
and was she a very spiritual? She was a very spiritual person?
Yes, she was. Maybe we should do some of this tomorrow because it seems like everybody's a little bit tired.
Okay. I sense you're trying to see that we see something that we're missing. And
the section is trying to explain why Moses is different than other people, than other Tzaddikim. And at the same time, go ahead.
Pharaoh's daughter raised him. She was a spiritual person, and she knew that Moses was different. So how did Pharaoh's daughter, why was she so much different from Pharaoh? But she knew that Moses was different, that he was special. And I guess the point that I'm making is Moses didn't grow up with his birth mother, but he grew up with Pharaoh's daughter, who was a spiritual person. And
it would
seem like, because he was in that environment, that she made some type of impact on nurturing him spiritually.
But you don't think Hashem gifted him with gifts?
I think he had gifts. Yes, I do. But I think that he was in an environment where he was nurtured by this woman. And maybe Hashem used her as a tool shape Moses to become the person, the great prophet that he ultimately became.
Well, Midrash says she left with them when they exited Egypt. And I mean, her name
means
daughter of God. I said, Midrash says that she left with the people, the children of Israel, when they left Egypt. And her daughter,
right.
Her name means daughter of Hashem, so daughter of Yah.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
And then
we will pick this up tomorrow. We'll spend some time on it tomorrow.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Have a good evening. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.